Today on the At the Table podcast, we're going to look back at last week's message entitled How to Study God's Word. And we're going to dive a little deeper into what that actually looks like and see what that means for us today. Without further ado, let's get started. Well, hey there, friends. Welcome back to the At the Table podcast with Pastor Gary. I'm so glad you could join me today for a time of reflection. Just a little bit of discussion, maybe just me with myself, but discussion nonetheless, and then encouragement as we continue on. So grab a seat, maybe a cup of coffee, and let's dive right in together. Today, we're diving into an empowering message that centers on the importance of eagerly and deeply engaging with Scripture. We often talk about what wanting a closer relationship with God looks like, and indeed, there's no greater catalyst for spiritual growth than immersing ourselves in His Word. Why? Well, as I shared in 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17 tells us that all Scripture, all means all, and that's all it means, all Scripture is God-breathed, useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the man of God or woman of God is thoroughly equipped for every good work. So that tells me that the Bible is God's Word. So that is really the first thing I want to pull out of this really quickly, that the Bible is God's Word. And with this comes authority, comes power, comes guarantee, comes a promise that God has made that He is going to help us in all ways as we follow Him. And there is no better way to know God, to understand God, and to realize what He has for you and your life as a follower in Jesus' name than reading God's Word. The second thing out of these verses is that it is necessary. And in order to be thoroughly equipped and able to do God's work. See, we can't do it without God. And that's an important thing to remember. And the surrender to this and daily, regularly reading God's Word will help us and equip us as we continue on our journey of knowing and following Him. See, right from the start, Scripture sets the foundation for how we are to approach discipleship, becoming more like Christ. And it is the theme of our ongoing series that we're doing at Grace Community Church. I've called it a series of series as we consider what God is calling us to do. And this last Sunday, I focused on the how, and that's why we're talking about it now, the how of discipleship, but specifically about reading and studying God's Word. And today, we're unpacking this just a little bit on how we can integrate the Bible study into our daily spiritual practices more effectively. Because let me tell you, no matter how much you're doing it, if you do it more, you read God's Word more, it will bring further benefit to you. Now, I remember mentioning during my sermon this week that there's a substantial difference in our spiritual lives when we regularly engage with the Bible. You know, one study said this, that if you read one or two times a week, it really gives you a negligible difference. In other words, it doesn't really bring much benefit. It did say that at day three, there was some change, a little bit, but it wasn't until day four that we start to see some tremendous things happening. And here, according to this article on ChristianLearning.com, here are the stats of what actually happened when people read the Bible four times a week. Let me just stop there. Understand that this is a way of quantifying what's happening, which can't even fully quantify or qualify what God is doing in our hearts. But here's some statistics that kind of these people reported at reading four or more times a week. This is some of the things they saw. Number one, loneliness went down 30%. See, I think that comes from when you spend time in the presence of God and you learn about who He is and that He's with us, that directly affects your psyche. Second, bitterness went down 43%. That's a significant drop. You know, it's hard to be bitter if you're really spending time with God. Anger went down 32%. Another staggering drop. Alcoholism went down 42%. In other words, people that had been struggling with alcohol addiction were finding change in their life. And here's one for those of you out there that may run into this, but in watching pornography went down 6%. See, when we understand how we're created and what we're called to be, it makes it harder to continue the sin practices in our life. And let that just be a reminder that this is perhaps one of the biggest ways we can see change for the good in following Christ in our life is by reading his word. Now, let me switch gears here just a little bit and start talking a little bit of practicalities. I want to highlight a few things that I talked about this Sunday and then just kind of expand on them. First, number one, I talked about choosing the correct translation. Now, there's a lot of research that goes into this and a lot of different ideas and approaches that go on, but essentially, Bible translations are today fall into one of two primary camps, either a word-for-word translation considered literal, where they actually go word-by-word and translate it, or thought-for-thought. And some people, especially as English is several generations removed from those ancient languages of Aramaic and Hebrew and Greek that were used to write the original Bible, and some of those differences with those ancient languages, a lot of people have gravitated towards the thought for thought. Now, I'll just say a couple of caveats on my perspective. I was raised with NIV translation, predominantly the 1984 version, and I will tell you this, that is where I gravitate towards, and it is more of a thought for thought translation than some. King James is usually what people think about when they think about word-for-word translation, and the King James is an older translation, and this is sometimes harder for some to understand, and there's lots of positives and negatives of going back and forth, but if you're looking for a good, newer word-for-word translation, I would direct you to maybe the ESV or even the CSB, and an even more modern version of thought-for-thought, and maybe a little bit more thought-for-thought than the NIV is the NLT, which has sometimes been described as kind of a more modern writing of this, but understand that the painstaking process of the translation process is still adhered to. And so essentially what I'm going to tell you is this, is find a translation that is a known, trusted translation. And if you're not sure, ask your pastor, ask a good friend that knows, that is going to be easiest for you to read, because you can't understand what you don't read. And so if it makes you more likely to read it, I encourage you to choose a good quality translation. One other caveat before we get on is that if you're going to be doing a lot of studying, sometimes a word-for-word translation, like the ESV, is going to be a little easier to do things like looking up the original terms and the words and the meanings and stuff like that. But anyhow, equally important to finding a good translation and maybe even a little bit more specific is setting aside a specific time, place, and plan. So make this intentional. Whether you're a morning person or awake in the afternoon, the key is consistency. Don't leave it to chance. Plan it for your day and put it in your calendar if you're a calendar person. Like I said, be intentional. You know, that which does not get planned for oftentimes doesn't get done. So if you don't make time, the things of life will crowd it out. It's kind of like that analogy where the person has a jar and has like a couple really big rocks and then smaller sized rocks until you finally get to sand. And what happens is you're never able to get all of the biggest, most important things into your life unless you put them in that jar first. If you do some of the other things like the sand or the smaller rocks, invariably you're going to lock out part of the big things in life. And so I encourage you, make this a priority. Now, as you begin to study, and that's the key, is we want to be more than just readers, we want to be studiers. When we're studying, context is king. Context, 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 I said, and that is remembering the macro context, the big picture, whole Bible context. Every scripture is connected, and none of them contradict each other. And so when you are looking at a specific passage or even verse, you must remember the big God's big story context. Second, you want to remember the context of the book you're reading, okay? And then if you're studying a bigger book, like maybe a 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, something like that, when Paul was writing those letters, even sections of the book, so of the letter, were focused on specific tasks. So even that smaller, minute, micro context is important. Understanding these things is important, and understanding that you're not isolating a verse and defining it and deciding what it means based on just that verse. It's part of a larger letter and as well as part of God's word, which is important to remember. The final thing we talked about was asking good questions, slowing down and asking good questions. The word that I shared with you that would be helpful to remember was speck, S-P-E-C-K. Now, I was told I went a little fast on Sunday, so I'm going to try to go a little slower here, but these are some questions you want to ask yourself. As you're reading, you're slowing down, you're saying, all right, is there a sin to avoid? Sometimes there's a very clear thing like thou shalt not, boom, don't do this. Okay, so looking for a sin to avoid, the letter P stands for promise. So a promise to claim. Is there something that is in Scripture that is saying, yes, this is a promise for believers and we can hold tight to that? Look for that. Third, the letter E is example. Is there an example to follow? You know, when Jesus was saying to his disciples, in order to be a follower of me, you must deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. That was an example to follow. But what was amazing is that Jesus' life also backed up that example and gave you further examples to follow. C, command to obey. So is there a command we're supposed to do? Is there something that we're commanded? You know, like, therefore go and make disciples. That is a command. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and strength. That is a command. Love your neighbor as yourself. That is a command. Commands are not optional. We don't get to just Thomas Jefferson them and cut them out. We have to recognize them for what they are, identify them, and then work to seek and obey them. And finally, N for knowledge. Is there some kind of knowledge about God? You know, a character quality, something, a truth, something about him that we can hold onto. It's a framework by thinking inquisitively to ask questions that help you dig deeper into the text and apply its truth to your life. And can I say one more thing about questioning? If you get to a section of Scripture and you go, why is that there? I encourage you to write that question down. Why is this here? And work to study through maybe a commentary, maybe an interlinear concordance, or some good other references for reading or for other pointing to other verses in the Bible, because remember, everything's connected. Whatever it is, if you in your mind you go, why is that there? I encourage you to stop and investigate. Why is that there? In closing, I just want to remember that the goal here isn't just head knowledge. Following Jesus is not just about knowing God. Because here's a newsflash to us, even the devil and the demons know who God is. And here is the crazy thing, even they have to obey when he tells them to do something. But I guarantee that they are not disciples and followers of Jesus. They just aren't. So we need to check those things in our heart and remember that God's word changes lives. And I've made this comment a couple of times in the previous weeks and said that, you know, if we have accepted and experienced and know God's grace, it will change us. Because if it doesn't, then I go out on a limb and say, I don't know that you really know God's grace. And see, the primary way we can know God more clearly is through his word. If you're not yet experiencing this transformation, maybe convictions to change or illuminations on what God's word means, perhaps it's time to examine the frequency or how you engage in God's word. And maybe, I'm going to throw this one out there, is maybe you just need a battle buddy to go through this with, someone that can just be reading the same context and the same verses that you are, and then a good, safe place to ask questions and study it together. There's something powerful about group study that allows us to hear different framework, different mindsets, different questions, different thoughts from other people that help us in our understanding of how we see and view God's word. Well, as we wrap up, I want to leave you with an encouragement. If you are not regularly reading the Bible, and let me preface that by at least four times a week, I want to encourage you to start today. Pick a plan. Download an app, maybe the YouVersion app or Through the Word, one of those two, or any other Blue Letter Bible, Bible Hub, something like that. And I invite you to let God speak life into your life through the reading and studying of His words. Thank you for being with me today at the table. And if you'd like to follow up on this or get in contact with me about Bible study, a Bible study plan, my door is always open. Proverbially, my online door is always open. You know how to get a hold of me. Leave a comment on this episode or send an email or contact our church through gccofalliance.org. And every way that we can be get contacted is on there. Together, let's commit to this as I work to encourage and equip you on your journey to know and follow Jesus Christ. Let's commit to going deeper in our walk with Christ today. And until next time, may you find the peace and joy in your journey of knowing and following Jesus. Have a great day.